Welcome to This is Robotics, radio news, podcasting news and commentary from around the world. Please join us for today's radio news report with your host, Tom Green, for news, analysis, and commentary from the wide world of robotics. Radio News is a production of Asian Robotics Review, your most trusted news resource in global robotics. And now, here's Tom.
Hi, everyone, and welcome. Thanks for joining us on this, our first program for 2022, the month of January. From Janus, the Roman god who looks both back and ahead. The Roman god of beginnings, gates, transitions, doorways, and passages. Hopefully, Janus sees a good year ahead in 2022. We need one. 2022, by the way, in Roman numerals is MMXXII. That's two M's, two X's, and two I's. We won't see that combo ever again. Speaking of combos, how about February 2nd, 2022? That is 2-2-2022. Also the beginning of the Lunar New Year. It's a double lucky day. I'm definitely buying a lottery ticket that day. Got a feeling that it'll be lucky for robotics as well. Welcome to This is Robotics Radio News. We're thrilled to have you with us. And coming up in a few days, you're right, the Winter Olympics in Beijing is coming. It's just about here. Robots are there in force. Some arrived 3 years ago. What's a day with Olympic robots like? Let's find out. Also coming up on today's show, Ask Any Cobot. Human workers cost more than wages. Generally, cobots and human workers are compared to by hourly wage, say $8 to $15, and ROIs are plotted on that. But humans cost more than wages. Cobots don't have 401ks, health and dental plans. They never work from home, never have maternity leave, never ask for a raise, never militate for a promotion, and pay absolutely zero employee taxes. Plus, ask any cobot if renting a cobot is a good thing, and you'd get two thumbs up, if they had thumbs. Join us for Renting Robots and Why That's a Really Good Thing. Coming up also is our take on the Cobot Wars. The Battle of Four Armies. Who will win the Cobot Wars and why? What Geek Plus did for AMRs in 2021, Cobots will do for collaborative robotics in 2022. Out of some 60 Cobot vendors, we're picking four, one of whom may well be the next Geek Plus. Also on tap is China's Quest for Precision Robotics by 2025, and why China in 2021 already has a remarkable edge when it comes to welding, cutting, sanding, brazing, and polishing. They are setting the standard for machines equaling and surpassing human quality. Also on the show today, hooray for construction robots. 2021 was a breakout year for agribots, or agricultural robotics, and 2022 will do the same for construction robots. Finally, construction, the industry with the planet's lowest rate of productivity, is waking up to a new reality with robots that really matter.
Construction represents one of the largest sectors in the global economy, with about $10 trillion spent each year. That spending accounts for 13% of the world's GDP. But the sector's annual productivity growth has only increased 1% over the past 20 years. According to one study, $1.6 trillion of additional value added could be created through higher productivity.
Robots can build a house in 10 hours. Okay, let's get on with the program, shall we? If you ask any cobot will tell you that humans cost more than wages. Cobots don't have 401ks, health or dental plans. They never work from home, never have maternity leave, never ask for a raise, never militate for a promotion, and pay absolutely zero employee taxes. Plus, ask any cobot if renting a cobot is a good thing, and you'd get two thumbs up, if they had thumbs. So, join us for Renting Cobots and Why That's a Good Thing. Back in September, we did a podcast that was based on one of our articles, The Problem with Cobots. And part of that article spoke about a new trend on the rise for getting cobots into the hands of SMEs, who might otherwise not be able to afford a chance to automate their operations. And we know, all of us know, that the time is growing short to automate. We must automate. Renting robots are what some call RAS, robots as a service. That's what it's all about. Robotics as a service is an elastic concept, says ABI Research. It can mean different things. It refers more broadly to robotics providers that do not simply sell their products, but rather rent or lease their products. Rental, lease, contract out, RAS, who cares? The main point is you don't own them. Someone else does. You pay only an hourly or a monthly rate to utilize their automation capabilities for your company's needs. Though the robotics market continues to grow, ongoing pressure on robotics vendors to maintain margin means that they are looking to widen market opportunities beyond just selling robots as products. Overall, ABI Research estimates that the installed base of RAS, that's rental, robots will grow from 4,442 units, which it is today, to 1.3 million by the year 2026. The yearly revenue from RAS providers is expected to increase from $217 million annually to nearly $34 billion annually in 2026. That's a huge jump. The biggest benefit of RAS is that end users can now shift their capital expenditure, CapEx, to an operational expenditure, OpEx, allowing them to deploy solutions without large upfront costs. RAS providers, in turn, benefit from a steady stream of income. The benefits of RAS are undeniable for end users and providers alike, and ABI Research forecasts that it will become much more popular in a very short space of time. Formic Technologies, one of the industry newbies offering RAS, says this: "We didn't invent automated systems, but we democratized them. Because technology doesn't change the world until you make it accessible to those who need it most. Automation is a necessity, not a luxury. And our mission is to continue the American legacy of innovation by making it your reality. Our team has deployed over 500 systems, and our 100-plus system integrator partners have more than 5,000 deployments under their belts, making us the ideal partner for any automation job." Okay, let's let these guys speak for themselves. Here's Formic's Malcolm Kerr with his 90-second introduction to what his company does and why you should avail yourself of their services.
Hi, this is Formic in 90 seconds. The purpose of Formic is to make automation really easy. And before I tell you how we do it, I'm going to tell you why it's not easy today. When we talk to manufacturers and ask them why they haven't automated more of their production processes, they typically cite one or more of these five really common barriers to entry with robotics. They don't have the capital. They don't have the time to manage what can be a very complex process involving a lot of different vendors. They're not totally sure what their future production needs will be, and it's really hard to justify buying an expensive piece of equipment that might be sitting there collecting dust in 2 years. They don't have the in-house expertise to navigate this process, and they're not ready to manage the risk that can come with automating something because equipment can break, and that can be really, really catastrophic for facilities. Our model gets rid of all five of those barriers to entry, and we make automating really fast, simple, and risk-free. Here's how we do it. We combine the customization of a piece of equipment. We do all the engineering work. We handle all the equipment costs. We handle installation. We also handle both predictive and reactive maintenance on that system. We have analytics to let you know how your system's performing, and we handle all upgrades. We back all of that with a performance guarantee. The only thing that we ever charge is one low rate, so you know exactly what you're going to be paying for your production costs no matter what. You pay by the hour, and we actually give price breaks for usage, so the more you use the system, the cheaper it becomes. And that is how Formic makes automation easy.
Polar Manufacturing is a Formic RAS customer. Last year, to meet rising demand amid a shortage of workers, Polar hired its first robot employee. Jose Figueroa, who manages Polar's production line, says the robot, which is leased from a company called Formic, costs the equivalent of $8 per hour compared with a minimum wage of $15 per hour for a human employee. Deploying the robot allowed a human worker to do different work, increasing output, Figueroa says. Figueroa was interviewed for a Wired magazine article titled, "Now You Can Rent a Robot Worker for Less Than Paying a Human." He goes on to say the fact that Polar didn't need to pay $100,000 up front to buy a robot and then spend more money to get it programmed was crucial. Figueroa says that he'd like to see 25 robots. He doesn't envisage replacing any of the company's 70 employees, but says Polar may not need to hire new workers. Old workers stay, they do new jobs, but they don't hire new workers. They don't take on extra wages and 401ks. Figueroa also went on to say that one of the most important things for him was these guys at Formic had skin in the game. That was his quote, skin in the game. Unlike people who are selling things or integrators who are just getting contracts sold and we'll see you later, these guys had skin in the game, according to Figueroa, which was very important to him. And I bet it's also going to be important to a lot of SMEs who also like companies that offer them a little skin in the game. Hooray for construction robotics. It seems to be on the rise for 2022. Oh, the noise from a construction site. We've all suffered through the annoying din. But construction is not only noisy and a traffic nightmare, but it's also inefficient, woefully expensive, and dangerous. Thankfully, construction is now getting serious attention from automation and robotics, and 2022 might be a breakout year. According to McKinsey's infrastructure report and ABI research, annually, $10 trillion in construction-related spending goes on globally, which is the equivalent of 13% of world GDP. The sector employs 7% of the world's working population, where 20,000 annually are injured. Safety or lack thereof puts construction right up there with mining, fishing, logging as the most dangerous professions. Since 1945, productivity in manufacturing, retail, and agricultural sectors has grown by 1,500%, while construction growth has remained stagnant.
The way we build today is largely unchanged from the way we used to build 50 years ago. And so there has been a certain level of stagnation as far as the technological innovation goes in the industry.
A lot of these projects go over budget and over time. One of the big benefits is just making sure that you get things done in a defined amount of time with a more predictable schedule.
You can have that one person having the productivity of five machines. And so it starts to scale pretty significantly.
This is very hard work on the body. And we've seen that one out of every four workers tends to end their career earlier with injuries.
Construction's a massive industry that hasn't benefited from a lot of the latest technological advancements we've seen in the world. And so we believe that the bringing digitization and automation into this industry will really transform how it works.
Global labor productivity growth in construction has averaged only 1% a year over the past two decades, contrasted with growth of 2.8% in the world economy and 3.6% in manufacturing. This clearly indicates that the construction sector is underperforming. Agriculture and manufacturing have increased productivity 10 to 15 times since the 1950s. The productivity of construction remains stuck at the same level as 80 years ago. Current measurements find that there has been a consistent decline in industry's productivity since the late 1960s. Disruption of construction industry via robotics and automation could increase the construction industry's value by $1.6 trillion a year, which is like boosting global GDP by 2% a year. ABI Research is out with a headline that says it all. It blares out, construction, the next frontier of robotics adoption, thanks to advances in automation technology. For 2022, construction is now getting serious attention from automation and robotics. The Finnish innovation agent, Arni Hankinson, is out with the world's best construction robotics list for 2022. You got to download this and eyeball it. He lists 53 together with the URLs for individual websites. So according to the list, there's 53 companies worldwide that could have a breakout this year, 2022. For a PDF version of the article, just go to This Is Robotics Radio News and download the article as a PDF, plus our top 10 picks for construction robotics breakouts in 2022. There's also a link there to Mr. Haskinson's 53 together with the URLs for the individual global companies. For the future, we may not be getting less of this, but it may just happen over a shorter period of time. Best of luck for construction robotics in 2022. Recently, I got a catalog from a Finnish company called Statson. The catalog was a list of all of the cobot manufacturers in the world. And there were 60. I was really stunned at 60. I knew there were a lot, but I didn't know there were 60. And of those 60, they have over 200 individual cobots that they're manufacturing and selling out there in the greater, wider world. So I took the catalog and I began looking it over and making some correlations between companies and some of their R&D, some of their patents, some of their sales, and what have you. And some reasoning started to come about why only a very few of them are the top sellers in the cobot category. And I wrote an article about it. It's online. You'll find it at Asian Robotics Review, and this is Robotics Radio News. It's in a PDF format at Radio News. You can download it so you can see all the links and all the different references that I used to build the article. The article is called The Battle of the Four Armies. And in that article, I talk about three hallmarks being the defining cobot characteristics that make up the most successful companies in terms of sales. And these three tech attributes are really showing themselves to be necessary in the cobotics world for the ultimate success of winning, of being one of the tops of this bunch of 60. And it looks to me like Universal Robots, Techman, and Doosan share the knack of being successful. Better keep an eye on a newcomer called Elite Robot, because they also have a knack. And I'll get into more of that as we go on. But get the article. It's at the This Is Robotics website. It's a PDF. It's downloadable. It's a long one, but well worth the read. And here's why these hallmarks are going to show themselves, I think, to really pick out the winners in this category. Although cobotics is still a fledgling industry, the hallmarks of what it takes to be successful in it are beginning to show themselves across a core group of competitors vying for tops in sales. As I said, Universal Robots, Techman, and Doosan. Each of these companies have three things in common that the rest of the competition either has little of or lacks completely. Having an abundance of these three common traits might well be what crowns the ultimate winner in the coming cobot wars. So what are these three attributes? First one is specialization. They only deal in cobots. They don't deal in all other industrial robots or service robots or personal robots. They only deal in competitively in cobots. That's it. That's specialization. That's number one. The second thing is R&D. They happen that each of these three have very strong R&D departments. And R&D seems to be one of the catalytic agents for success, boosting them to success. We'll get into that in a moment, too. The third one, and it sort of falls out of R&D, is patents. Who's got the most amount of patents? Which of these R&D departments is really chugging along, producing the patents? The patents produce goods. The goods go into the robots, and the robots go out on the marketplace, and they're successful. That's either software or hardware. Who's got the patents? So specialization in cobotics, second R&D, third patent. And of all these three, I see a fourth dark horse candidate has also popped onto the radar lately. And the young upstart cobot developer bears watching. Elite Robot, the Shanghai Zhuzhou-based cobot maker, has a lot to recommend itself and may well be, when all is said and done, the pick of the bunch. And these guys have only been around for a little while, and they've already sold 2,000 cobots. I mean, they're up there. Why are they up there? In fact, this newbie, founded in 2016, has a lot of the same attributes and qualities as we see in the AMR wonder company Geek Plus. Superb engineering, great product design, and vaunted R&D capabilities. A newcomer on the grow, Elite Robot may well end up being tops in the category. So number one, specialization. Specialization, or cobot being only the number one game in town. It seems to be the lead attribute in the front-running cobot makers, and Universal Robots, Techman, and Doosan are just that, solely cobot-focused. Everything at each of these four leaders, from the C-suite decision-making to engineering prowess to marketing, is directed towards a single technology, cobotics. It may well be a big reason why they are leaders in sales. The second item, R&D. And if you got this singular focus on cobotics and you got a fairly decent R&D department, the two others, R&D and patent, sort of naturally flow. The second one of particular importance is R&D. Each competitor has a large, well-funded R&D component. R&D is critical to cobot success because cobots, more so than their big brother industrial robots, are in the eye of a massive, intense storm. Swirling full of sensors, compute power, artificial intelligence, machine learning, and software. Mastery of all this tech will be necessary to ultimately conquer the challenges of logistics and Industry 4.0 manufacturing. Hence, R&D to the max seems to be the entry fee for success. An R&D team's command of native innovation, plus integration of outside tech into its cobotics, and then getting same to market, has an enormous edge. Just look at Universal Robots, smartly allowing hundreds of kit, component, and accessory makers to ensure compatibility of their gear with UR's cobot arms. It's like offloading R&D. In the end, however, leaning on an outsider's tech to make your technology cutting edge can also serve to make UR's own tech vulnerable, while at the same time serving to weaken the internal R&D department. Third thing, and that also flows out of R&D, naturally, is a patent portfolio, which is also very, very important in the coming years as far as cobot makers go with all of this new tech that's being incorporated into their cobot arms. Cobot makers with a strong affiliation to a research university seem to have a strong edge here. New ideas, new techniques, new paradigms from fresh young minds of university teams can power up cobotics for an always-on flow of innovation that's so very vital to cobot technology, which in turn is so vital in a cobotic search for the elusive next big thing for logistics and manufacturing. Universal Robots, TechMen, and Doosan are not strong on the patent front or in affiliations with R&D at the university level. They're strong, but not as strong as this fourth one, which is Elite Robot. Elite Robot has an enormous R&D department. It's almost 50% of the firm. Its university affiliation to Beihang University is also very amazing. And what's happening is it's showing up in the marketplace. These people have sold 2,000 robots. Probably not many people have even heard of them, yet they've already sold 2,000 robots. Doosan is saying it sold 1,000. TechMan is saying it sold 10,000 over the past 10 years. Universal Robots has sold 50,000 robots. That's their claim to fame. But that took place over a 10-year period of time. 10 years into 50,000 is 5,000 robots a year. By year, you've got Universal at 5,000, you've got TechMan, and you've got a little bit more than that, and then you've got Doosan, and now you've got Elite Robot at 2,000. It's amazing. So there's really only four people at the starting line of all these 60 that you see out there. So if you're going to make a big pie chart with all the cobot vendors in it, there's really only going to be four that are really making a dent on things, and it's these four. And the reasons why is cobot specialization, wonderful R&D departments, and strong patent portfolios. The strongest of the four is the name of the company that no one's really heard much about, Elite Robot. Let's give an eye to them and get over to This Is Robotics Radio News and read The Battle of the Four Armies. I think you'll find it very interesting and very informative. And at the same time, go to StatsOn and download the same catalog of 60, count them, 60 cobot manufacturers on this planet. It's amazing. Get over there. China's new trend, precision robotics. China turns hard-to-do robotics like polishing and welding, laser cutting and grinding into a competitive advantage. First, a few factoids that will be eye-popping for you. They were for me. The welding conundrum. 70% of all manufactured goods on the face of the earth are welded in some way, shape, or form. Yet very few people want to pursue welding as a career. Meanwhile, 40% of manufacturers worldwide have declined new contracts because not enough skilled workers were available. Yet, Global welding, according to the Fortune Business Insights, is a market that's going to go in 2026 to $48 billion, driven by a 3.6% increase in manufacturing activities worldwide. Asia-Pacific's cut of all that is going to be $11 billion. So the emergence of automation for welding, grinding, laser cutting in some way, shape, or form is really at the moment. According to the American Welding Society President David McQuaid, by the year 2025, the U.S. will be faced with a shortage of more than 400,000 welding professionals. The Nikkei Asian Review adds to that, saying that the global shortage of qualified welders is 1.2 million right now. The greatest need is U.S., China, India, South Korea, Japan, and Thailand. Here are a few clues as to maybe why that is. Here's an OSHA fact sheet about the profession of welding. Welding fumes may cause lung damage and various types of cancer, including lung, larynx, and urinary tract, metal fume fever, whatever that is, stomach ulcers, kidney damage, nervous system damage, and Parkinson's-like symptoms. All of a sudden, whatever a welder gets paid doesn't look to be commensurate with the risk. Is it any wonder that a robot welder might be a good substitute? If China's domestic robots are to compete with the big foreign robot vendors, Fanuc, Yaskawa, ABB, etc., then precision robotics is a key competitive advantage that domestic robots must acquire. There's a large segment of global manufacturing that demands precision robotics. Welding and polishing and laser cutting are but three of the most prominent, and also three of the most difficult for China's domestic robots to master, until now. With mastery comes rewards, like increased market share both at home and abroad, as well as stature when measuring up against the competition. A recent report in Nikkei Asian Review puts China's welding industrial robot population at 175,000. That means China already has 175,000 robot welding systems in place. But, as the Nikkei Asian Review puts it, even by conservative estimates, the number needed in China is more than 2 million. So the future need for China's precision robotics industry is 2 million, yet they only have 175,000 right now. That's a huge market. One robot system, says Eric Miller of Miller Electric Manufacturing Company, one robot system will make as many parts as three human welders. You're saving two salaries per shift, and the average pre-engineered cell cost is $100,000 to $120,000. It pays for itself in about a year. Typically, if you can automate a process and get payback in less than a year, that's something you got to do right away. So what's China doing about it? Well, with the help of artificial intelligence and machine learning and advanced sensors, two of China's high-tech newbies, Minwe Tech and Khan Robotics, have not only made considerable headway in feats of precision, but have actually outdistanced the competition. Some foreign competitors, like ABB and Yaskawa for two, are actually purchasing China's tech for installation on their own industrial robots. That's a switch a long time coming, and a good one for China's robotics industry. One of the Chinese startups, Minwe, founded in 2016 and profitable by 2017, doesn't build robots. Rather, it builds the welding tech gear that enables robots to be ultra-precise. The other, Khan, is a raw startup, starting in 2018, and it was profitable in 2019, and its robots are drawing raves for their precision polishing capabilities. Already, the polishing tyro has Midea, KUKA, Shanghai Electric adopting its technology. A dozen customers, including those in auto assembly, an auto parts producer, as well as casting and welding processors, have helped the company's profitability already. Khan is developing force-controlled robots, mainly aimed at the polishing market, providing a range of solutions from 3D scanning to prototype development using offline programming. As well as having the ability to develop software algorithms, it also provides final polishing equipment that make use of software and hardware. In addition, Minwe Tech has developed offline programming software called RoboSmart, which allows high-speed programming of industrial robots. Midway Tech's manufacturing customers are mostly in shipping, heavy industry, autos, auto parts, and munitions. The company's standardized products are used by numerous robot manufacturers, including the Global Four, ABB, KUKA, Yaskawa, and FANUC, as well as China's own CSN Robot Automation and GSK. The bottom line in all of this is the amazingly short period of time that these two newbies took to go from development lab to the marketplace and to marketplace success. Barely a year. Amazing. Also, each has been the beneficiary of China's well-developed artificial intelligence machine learning expertise. With the U.S., the U.K., and China wearing the laurels of world leadership in artificial intelligence and machine learning, and with China alone among the three also growing out a domestic robotics industry, AI and ML will undoubtedly take on wider transformative role with China's industrial robots. In comparison, Japan, producer of over 50% of the world's industrial robots and emperor of all things robotic for over 50 years, is inexplicably, well, semi-inexplicably, horribly backward in artificial intelligence and machine learning. It may come to pass that industry leadership is not determined by how many industrial robots a country has per 10,000 workers, rather how many smart robots per 10,000 workers a country has. What if a single smart industrial robot could do the work of five dumb robots? A single smart robot then would become a formidable force multiplier, which in turn might well lower the overall cost of China's automation plans. And if that pans out to be just partially accurate, then China has a homegrown robot industry on its hands with immediate worldwide appeal. Khan and Minhui are just the beginning. You can see the full article on China's precision robotics at This Is Robotics Radio News. Check out the website for the full article, downloadable as a PDF with full links and references available. The Beijing Winter Olympics are almost here, February 3rd. And like the Tokyo Olympics, the Beijing Olympics are going to be haunted by COVID, unfortunately. You remember the last Olympic Games that wasn't haunted by COVID? That was Korea, the Pyeongchang 2018 Winter Olympics. It seems like an age away now. Good friend of mine, SK Song, has a robot company, or had at that time, called Future Robot, and he had 30 of his robots with their signage, their 32-inch signs, interacting with thousands of people in the crowd. We shot lots of video of these people gleefully interacting with SK Song's Furo Ds. Robots and Olympics haven't been the same since. COVID stalked Tokyo, and now it haunts Beijing. But let's see what's going on in terms of robots for the Winter Olympics in Beijing 2022. Obviously, if you're going to have ice and you're going to have a whole bunch of people there, you're going to need water to make ice and you're going to need water for people. So the massive Wuxong Arena is getting ready to host the ice hockey events for February, and it's going to need water supplies and it's going to need clean air. So Shenzhen-based Kaifeng Air Purification Technology Company's large mobile purifiers will support the Beijing Olympic Games. Additionally, there'll be also mobile robots will be used to sanitize the air by spraying a disinfecting fog capable of treating 387 square feet with each spray and carries enough disinfectant to cover 10,000 square feet with each deployment. Another robot named Little White is equipped with facial recognition sensors that will scan the venue for fans not wearing a mask and remind them to do so. Isn't that strange, huh? We go from one Winter Olympics to another Winter Olympics. We have robots interacting gleefully with people, and now we have robots acting as police. Very, very strange. It's urgent to secure water quality, especially for ice making and especially for people who need to drink water and food that needs to be made with water. So the Guangtang Reservoir, which is one of the water resources critical to the games, is about 60 miles away. from Beijing. It was built in 1951, and its water is secure. One of the reasons why it's secure is because a robot has been patrolling it for the past 3 years. We have been working on this project for more than 3 years, said Dr. Yu Daiyang. The existing surface area monitoring system in China is mainly online monitoring and manual sampling for laboratory analysis. The new control technology is precise and fast, especially as it is enabled by 5G and ensures rapid in-situ and online monitoring for the unmanned vessel, even in complex environments. Made of high-quality stainless steel to prevent corrosion, the autonomous surface vessel is about 4 meters long and 2 meters wide. It's battery-powered and can operate for more than 8 hours. This is the largest unmanned water quality monitoring surface vessel in China, Dr. Wu explained, with the most complete functions and advanced intelligent software. Organizers of the Beijing 2020 Olympic Games have disclosed further that there are other robots being deployed at the Wuxong Arena, including logistics robots. Logistics robots are there as well, supporting logistical operations, and will also assist the management at the events at Wuxong Arena. Staff members can load those robots with items ranging from 30 to 300 kilograms, and they will be transported to a designated delivery point and unloaded. The technology allows the robots to avoid obstacles en route and automatically recharge themselves. Then there's coffee-making robots. The machines are capable of grinding coffee beans and placing them in a percolator to brew a cup of coffee within 4 minutes. I have a lot of doubt that this is going to be successful, but what the heck? Brewing individual cups of coffee for thousands of customers looking for a taste of something warm in February might be a reach for these coffee bots. Customers standing in line, waiting for a cup of coffee, keeping a social distance all the while, mind you, might be a little bit difficult to pull off. Waiting in long lines for a cup of coffee at the Winter Olympics might well be deserving of a gold medal itself and the playing of your national anthem. So we hope the best for the Winter Olympics and all the robots that are helping to keep it healthy. It's a shame that it's not as gleeful and happy as the Korean Olympics were, but it looks like it's going to be a long wait until 2026. We're in Italy. The Winter Games will be held at Cortina, and hopefully by 2026 we'll be done with COVID and be able to enjoy the Winter Games as we did in 2018.
We look forward to bringing to your ears another exciting year of This Is Robotics Radio News. Thanks ever so much for all of the well-wishings and global appreciations we got for our podcast. We're overjoyed that you like it so much, which pumps us up even more to bring you more. For 2022, we have a few surprises to add to the podcast, so please hang with us throughout the year. You're going to love what you hear. Upcoming is Lunar New Year, Year of the Tiger. To all my Thai friends and relatives, Sawati Pi Mai. Lunar New Year is also the birthday of our launching of Asian Robotics Review. We'll be going on our 5th year of publishing. To all of our good buds in the robotics ecosystem, and to the new friends we made this year, we love getting to know you. Take care, everyone.
Brings to a close today's edition of Radio News. As always, thank you for your interest and attention. Until our next report, please be sure to click on over to This Is Robotics, the online news column at Asian Robotics Review. Also, look for This Is Robotics Radio News at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Pandora. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, this is Radio News, signing off. Have a great day.